Hi, this is Newt. Because of the coronavirus, I am currently staying at home in Rome, where my wife serves as the United States Ambassador to the Holy See. She's leading the embassy in dealing with all the different changes being brought about by the pandemic. To bring you this episode this week, I'm recording from my home, so you may notice a difference in audio quality. This is a special edition of Newt's World. There are so many people, particularly small business operators and independent employees, who are really concerned and want to know exactly what has Congress passed and exactly what kind of help is going to be available. I was thrilled because we were able to have Elaine Parker from the Job Creators Network, who really knows so much. She's the president of the Job Creators Network Foundation. And if you have friends who are running a small business or people who are self-employed or who are gig workers, you may want to tell them about this particular interview, because I think it really answers a lot of questions in a very practical way. Elaine Parker, president of the Job Creators Network Foundation. Let me say that I work regularly with the Job Creators Network. They do an amazing job of representing small business in this country and have had a big impact on the Trump administration. Could you talk to us a little bit, Elaine, about your view on the whole coronavirus and the economy and the way that, from a small business standpoint, we're currently dealing with it?
Well, thanks for having me, Newt. The coronavirus has just really taken a toll on the small business community. As you know, there's 30 million small business owners out there, and they employ 60 million people. That's roughly half our workforce. And what we're seeing is this hidden enemy just in the last month or so really put us in a position where the government is actually being forced to close businesses for health safety reasons. And unfortunately, that is putting businesses at risk of having to close their doors and lay employees off. And while small business for the last 3 or 4 years has been on the forefront of driving the success of this economy, they're now on the forefront of being the most damaged by this virus from an economic standpoint. And so we're hearing on a daily basis from our members telling us what they need in the way of relief and support and essentially a lifeline. But they're also asking us for information as quickly as we can get it. How do they find relief? Where do they go for that relief? What is coming down the pike? And so the CARES Act that the president signed into law just 1 week ago provides a program called the Paycheck Protection Program, which is going to really provide a lifeline to keep businesses going and keep their employees paid during this crisis.
Could you lay out for a typical small business the benefits of the Paycheck Protection Program?
So the Paycheck Protection Program, which I call a lifeline for these employers and their employees, provides forgivable loans to any business with 500 employees or less. And what they've done is provided a carve out for the restaurant and hotel companies that actually have fewer than 500 employees per physical location. So if you've got like a franchisee or a hotelier that has multiple locations and their overall workforce exceeds 500, as long as a physical location doesn't exceed 500, those companies can also apply for these forgivable loans. The amount of the forgivable loan that any small business is eligible to borrow is 250% of their average monthly payroll expenses, up to $10 million. And any compensation that's over an annual salary of $100,000 is excluded in that. But these forgivable loans can be used for payroll, interest expenses on mortgages, rent payments, leases, and utilities, and it can be used for an 8-week period of expenses backdated to February 15th through June 30th, any 8 weeks in that period.
So let me ask you for a second. You use the term forgivable loans. In what way are they forgivable?
They basically turn into grants.
So if we got the loan, under what circumstances does it become a grant, and under what circumstance is it a loan that has to be repaid?
The requirement for it to turn into a grant is that you retain your payroll, you retain your employees. And if you lay off any employees, the forgiveness amount will be reduced by the percent decrease in the number of employees. So let me give you an example. If Gingrich Production has, for example, 10 employees and you lay off one person, then 90% of that loan will be forgiven and 10% will have to be paid back. Also, if your total payroll expenses decrease by more than 25%, then loan forgiveness will be reduced by that same amount. And if you've already laid off any employees, you can still be forgiven for that amount if you rehire those employees by June 30th.
This is really an effort to create a full employment bridge to help people maximize the number of people who are at work between now and the time we defeat the virus.
It's actually a perfect description. It's a bridge to help us get back to where we were before. And that's an excellent term for it. We really think at Job Creators Network that it's a much better investment of taxpayer dollars to provide this bridge, this lifeline to small businesses and their employees and keep them employed, attached to those businesses versus putting them on unemployment insurance. Because when we are ready, when we kill this virus and these employees are ready to go back to work and these companies are ready to reopen, it's going to be a much faster startup if they're already engaged with their employers.
That's great. So we talk about small business with employees. What if you're an independent contractor or a gig employee? How does the act apply to you?
So the wonderful thing about this Paycheck Protection Program and something we were really fighting for, because gig employees, independent contractors, some people call them 1099 contractors, they are included in this act and can apply for the program. Starting today, small businesses with employees, LLCs, S-Corps, anybody who has employees can apply today through their banks, any FDIC insured bank that participates with an SBA 7A loan. Next Friday, gig workers, 1099 contractors can apply for their loans, and they're just working on the guidelines and what kind of documentation will be necessary for that group of people.
Let's say you're a small business, but you're a one-person small business. I have a friend, for example, who's a hairdresser, and he runs a shop, and he and his wife are the shop. How do they qualify for the loan?
It is literally a one-page application. If you've ever worked with the SBA before in non-crisis times, the application can be quite cumbersome, and going through the SBA can take a lot more time. It's just a bureaucratic process. It's not a criticism, it's just a fact. But when you look at this application, we really wanted to see it streamlined and quick. When you're talking about getting $350 billion out the door as quickly as possible, you've got to have a short application process. So it's literally a one-page front and back application to fill out and bring to your local bank. And they're going to have some necessary internal documentation, likely maybe your 2019 or 2018 statements showing how many employees you have, what your income is, those kinds of things. But it's literally saying that you're going to be impacted or you are impacted by the COVID crisis, and this loan will go towards payroll and overhead expenses.
Next, what happens though if I'm a small business owner and I've already laid off the majority of my employees? And stay tuned. At the end of this episode, I'll give you an audio sneak peek of my new novel, Shakedown. What happens though, if I'm a small business owner and I've already panicked and furloughed everybody or laid off the majority of my employees, if I rehire them, does that make me re-eligible for all of them? How do we meet the employment goals if I've already laid them off?
So there are a lot of companies that have had to lay off employees, and we're seeing that obviously in the weekly unemployment claims, 3.3 million last week, over 6 million this week. And today they announced over 700,000 jobs lost in the month of March. And that doesn't even cover the full month of March. The data actually only goes through about the 12th of March. So we know that that's the case, that people have had to lay off their employees. If you are a small business and you want to apply for the Paycheck Protection Program, as long as you rehire those employees by June 30th and maintain your payroll, that loan will become forgivable and turn into a grant.
even if you expect your crisis to be this fall, by taking the grant now and by meeting the grant's requirements, you've really, in effect, been able to save some money that during the later crisis you can use to survive. And is that a fair summary?
That's a great way to put it, because there may be some industries that, while they may be feeling something now, it may take them longer to recover than other industries. I know that I've seen reports from hotel owners talking about the last crisis when they went through the 2008 economic crisis. And even after 9/11, the hotel industry was hurt significantly, and in some cases took as much as 5 years for different areas of the country to recover. While this provides a bridge for them now, or some additional revenue for them now, if they can maintain those employment levels, it's forgivable, and it may help them as they try to recover and come back.
The total allocation for the Small Business Administration, I think, is about $349 billion. How rapidly do you think that money will get used up? And is there a danger that businesses who apply 3 or 4 weeks from now will find out that there's no money left?
Certainly, there's a possibility of that. I, like everybody else, watch the press conferences every day with the administration. And I know Secretary Mnuchin was asked exactly that question. And his answer to that was, if we run out of money, that they will get more money in the system. The administration has been completely supportive and laser focused on small business. And we've been in constant contact and working with Secretary Mnuchin and the administration every few days and talking to them and providing feedback from small business. I can tell you that their focus and understanding that small business is really going to lead the charge out of this, they definitely understand that. And they understand that when they've got the small businesses representing half the workforce, the faster they can get these businesses up and running, the faster this economy will turn around and come back. And just kind of analogize it, think of when you put your computer in sleep mode versus when you shut it completely down. So if we can provide this bridge and keep their doors open and keep the employees attached to the business in pause mode with these forgivable loans versus shutting everything completely down, if we come out of pause mode, just like your computer, when you wake it back up, it comes back to life fast. When you shut everything completely down, it takes a long time to boot back up. So we want to stay in pause mode while we beat this virus. And then we want to come roaring back with small business leading the charge, 30 million of them coming back online with 60 million employees. And then just think about all the people being housebound and unable to go out to dinner and unable to shop and unable to just live a normal life. There's a lot of people working from home, and so they're still getting a paycheck, but the pent-up consumption is just incredible. I mean, I know Amazon is talking about hiring 100,000 new people to keep up with the delivery demands. So that's because of that pent-up consumption. And so all of that is just going to be unleashed. We've got to beat the virus first and get back on track there and deal with the health crisis. I'm as positive as the administration is when they talk about this economy roaring back, because just a month ago, we had record job numbers. We had more jobs available, 1 million more jobs available than people to fill them. We had record unemployment in every single demographic across the board. Every single demographic was in high demand and working if they wanted a job. Basically, if you wanted a job, you had a job.
What if you've only been in business for 1 year and you haven't filed the 2019 taxes because you now have an extension? How do you qualify?
You know, that's a really good question. I've been a small business owner, so I know what some of the quarterly filings would be. And I think that'd be a great question for your bank. But one of my suggestions would be to provide your quarterly 941s showing that you've made payroll taxes. But your bank will be your best source on that.
When we come back, what are the benefits to individuals? And at the end of this episode, I'll give you an audio sneak peek of chapter one of my new novel, Shakedown, available now at Gingrich360.com/shakedown. And what are the benefits to individuals? Who gets a check and how much?
the checks that are going out to individuals over the next few weeks, and I read this morning they plan on generating about 5 million checks a week, if you can believe that. Getting that much money out the door is pretty incredible. But for individuals, it's $1,200. For married couples, it's $2,400, and then $500 per child. And that's up to about $75,000 for single, and then $99,000 for single. It tapers off for married couples. It's about $198,000. So those checks are going out. If you've got direct deposit information on file and you actually have done your taxes, they've got recent direct deposit information and they can get the money out the door. One report I did read this morning and I'd like to make the point of is that they are going to be issuing those checks in reverse order of wage earners. So the lowest income folks are going to get the checks first.
Does that also then cover the individual unemployment benefits? Because you're going to get a check, but then there's also unemployment.
So for folks who have been laid off already, furloughed, and are applying for unemployment within their state, every state sets their rates on what they pay. So for example, if you're in Massachusetts, I think it's somewhere around $800 a week you get for unemployment at the state level. The federal unemployment system is going to add an additional $600 a week across the board for every individual for unemployment. So if you're in Massachusetts, you're going to get $800 from the state plus an additional $600 from the federal government for unemployment benefits. And that's for a 4-month period.
I want to thank you. Every time we have a chance to interview you, it's always so filled with information and it's always so positive. And the work that you and Alfredo are doing is truly remarkable and I think makes the Job Creators Network just a remarkably effective organization helping small business. And I encourage everybody who hears this to go to your website and see all the different things you're doing. It's much more than this. But Elaine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Newt. We're trying to put real-time information on our website, jobcreatorsnetwork.com. As we get new information from the administration, we're putting it up there in real time. There's even a brand new application that went up this morning.
Thank you to my guest, Elaine Parker, president of the Job Creators Network Foundation. You can read more about the CARES Act and Paycheck Protection Program on our show page at newtsworld.com. Newt's World is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Debbie Myers, and our producer is Garnsey Sloan. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Penley. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. Please email me with your comments at newt@newtsworld.com. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is Newt's World. Thanks for listening to Newt's World. And now, a special sneak peek of my new novel, Shakedown. Here is chapter 1.
The old man bent down, tried, but couldn't slip the envelope under his neighbor's door. Checked the empty hallway, turned and began walking toward the floor's elevator, while pulling a pistol from under his jacket, pressed the call button and took a deep breath to calm his nerves. Ding! He tightened his index finger on the handgun's trigger, anticipating the opening doors. Sucked in another calming breath. No one was inside. Tucked his handgun between his belt and watermelon belly, stepped inside. The building's lobby was empty. The security guard had gone home at 10 p.m. The condo board didn't believe it necessary to have him stay longer. Their Roslyn, Virginia neighborhood was relatively crime-free. The man walked to a wall of mailboxes directly across from the elevator, ran a finger along the tenants' mailboxes, stopping at the second box on the third column, his neighbor's. He inserted the envelope into it. From his jacket, he drew a second envelope, which he dropped in the outgoing mail. Behind him, the sound of laughter. A couple entering the building through its double glass doors. The man at the mailboxes noticed that the woman was younger, giggling, holding her male companion's arm. Her loud chatter and wobbly walk suggested she was drunk. A Saturday night date, perhaps a one-night stand. The condo building was across the Potomac River from the nation's capital, an inexpensive Uber ride from popular Georgetown pickup bars. The approaching couple appeared harmless. Still, the man returned to the elevator and pushed the call button, hoping to board and depart before they reached him. The couple quickened their pace. The old man reached inside his jacket, resting his hand on his pistol. He noticed that she was wearing a gray wool stocking cap and scarf. He wore a red Washington Nationals baseball cap, and the collar of his dark blue coat was turned up. Difficult to see faces. The elevator doors opened. The woman straightened, lunged forward, grabbed the old man's left arm. At the same moment, her male accomplice slipped in front of him, a blade before the old man could draw his handgun, directly into his heart. One thrust, one twist. No time to cry out. Who would hear? The woman steadied him, pushed the man's body forward. He hit the elevator floor hard, face first, its doors shut.